The voice of a gifted spiritual teacher carries authenticity, inspiration, and insight, all of which are transmitted in an instant. My name is Tammy Simon, and this is Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True. In this excerpt from True Meditation, spiritual teacher Adyashanti explores the freedom of meditation beyond technique.
We're going to investigate the whole notion of meditation, of what meditation is, of why we meditate, of what meditation can lead to. And I want to explore what I call true meditation, which, as I talk about it, you'll come to realize that what I'm talking about when I say true meditation is something quite specific, but also something quite different than the kind of meditation that most people are used to hearing about. But first I want to talk about, just for a moment, about a little personal history, and that I came from the Zen tradition. And in Zen Buddhism, of course, there's a long tradition in which the primary practice is meditation. So in Zen, you meditate often for hours a day in the seated meditation posture, for a prescribed period of time, and in a very particular way. And what I found out through my own practice for a lot of years of meditation is that I actually wasn't particularly good at it. And I think a lot of people find that when they meditate, that what they first find is they're not particularly good at it. Their minds are busy, they can't still their minds, their bodies want to be twitching. It's very hard for people to calm down and be quiet. And so my experience from the very beginning was that meditation was actually something that was very difficult for me to do. And I find for a lot of people it's something that's actually very difficult for them to do. So there I found myself sitting, going to various retreats and sitting at home for short periods of time. At home I would sit for maybe half an hour a day, sometimes longer, and then I would go to retreats and sit for much, much longer periods of time. And very often, what my meditation was actually anything but meditation. It was a lot of struggle, a lot of trying to calm my mind, a lot of trying to control my thoughts, and a lot of trying to be still without a lot of success, except for sort of magical moments when meditation would just seem to happen. So because I wasn't particularly, I would say, gifted initially at being able to meditate well, being able to control my mind and enter into sort of a meditative state, after some years of trying to meditate in this way, I actually found that I needed to find a different way to meditate because this wasn't working. And it all really began, what I call true meditation, one day when I was speaking with my teacher, and my teacher said to me, if you try to win the war with your mind, then you'll be at war forever. And it really struck me when my teacher told me that, because at that moment I realized that I had been engaging in meditation in such a way that I was actually trying to win this battle with my mind. I was trying to control my mind, to pacify my mind, to try to get my mind to be quiet. And while some people may be better at that than I was, what I realized was when my teacher said, if you are at war with your mind, you will probably be at war forever. First thing I thought was, my goodness, forever is an awful long time. And so I thought, I must come upon a whole different way of looking at this. If I'm going to be at war with my mind, possibly indefinitely, then I need to find a way to not be at war with my mind. And without even knowing it, I just started to investigate in a quiet way and in a very deep way what it would be like to not be at war with my own mind, with what I felt, with my whole experience, my whole human experience. And so I started to sit down to meditate, and I started to let go of the idea of what meditation was supposed to be. I noticed that my mind had a lot of ideas about what meditation was supposed to be. It was supposed to be peaceful and I was supposed to feel a particular way, mostly calm, and it was supposed to lead me into some very deep, deep state of being. And I thought I was going to achieve this by learning a meditation technique, by mastering a technique, and then that was going to take me into a very deep meditative state. And I started to find that because I could not master the technique of meditation as it was being taught to me, I had to start to come upon a different way of meditating. And so I started to come upon a way of meditating which wasn't really oriented around a technique, is I would start to just sit down and let my experience be as it is in a very, very deep way. And I started to let go of trying to control my experience. So I'll talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. But for the moment, that became the foundation. That became the very beginning of discovering for myself what true meditation is. And so from that point up till now, that shift of moving from trying to perfect a technique or a discipline to actually letting go of technique and discipline started to inform the way that I engaged in meditation. Now, I think for a lot of people in today's spiritual marketplace, everybody has some idea of meditation, whether you've been on a spiritual path or been in any sort of religion. Everybody at least has heard about meditation. Now, ideas about meditation are usually colored by our past conditioning, what we've learned, what we think meditation is, where we think it should go. But it's very useful to start out with realizing that meditation can serve a whole array of agendas. So people meditate sometimes for better physical health. They meditate for better emotional health. They meditate to learn how to still their bodies, to still their minds. Some people meditate to open up certain subtle energy channels within their bodies. Sometimes those are called chakras. Some people meditate to develop love, to develop compassion. Some people meditate in order to achieve altered states of consciousness. Other people meditate to try to come upon certain spiritual powers or psychic powers, or sometimes called in spirituality cities, which is basically spiritual powers. And then there's also meditation which can be an aid towards spiritual awakening and enlightenment. And this is the meditation which is an aid towards spiritual awakening or enlightenment that really interests me, that really is what true meditation is all about. And so whether one is brand new to meditation or one has meditated for a very, very long time, what I have found is it really doesn't make any difference what your history is. What matters is the attitude that we engage the process of meditating in. That's what matters. And the most important thing is that we come to meditation with a really open attitude, an attitude that's very innocent, which means an attitude that's not colored by the past, by what we've heard about meditation, through culture, through media, through our various spiritual and religious traditions. But we come to the whole notion of meditation in a way that's fresh and innocent. My experience as a spiritual teacher is that I meet a lot of people as I travel around and talk to people. And I've met a lot of people that have meditated for many, many years, often decades. And one of the most common things I hear about is people come to me and say they've meditated for many, many, many years, and yet they remain, or they feel that they remain, essentially untransformed. So this deep inner transformation, this deep inner spiritual revelation that meditation offers is something that eludes a lot of people. It eludes a lot of people that are long time meditators. And so as I travel around and talk to people, I find that a lot of people are either confused about meditation or disillusioned because they've meditated for many years. Maybe they've had lots of various types of spiritual experiences through meditation. But in the end, often people feel untransformed, or they feel that the meditation they're doing hasn't actually led them to where they actually wanted to go. And I would suggest that there's actually some very good and specific reasons why often the meditation that a lot of people are engaged in, including the kind of meditation that I was engaged in for a certain period of time, that the very meditation we do, the attitude with which it is carried out, is the reason why meditation can often lead into sort of a dead end, in a certain sense. By that I mean that a lot of time meditation does not lead to the state of transformation that it's promised. And one of the reasons for this is actually extraordinarily simple, and therefore it's very easy to miss, is that the state, what we could call the awakened state of being or the enlightened state of being, could also be called the natural state of being.
You've been listening to Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True, sponsored by Bread for the Journey. For more wisdom for the inner life, please visit www.soundstrue.com.